We ask that you would open the ears of our heart, the ears of our spirit, so that we hear your sound, the sound of your name throughout this world. Lord, it is a majestic sound. It goes throughout the world. Sound of your name. Lord, help us to hear that sound. But Lord, just as that sound of your name is majestic and it goes throughout the world, oh Lord, that sound is also still and intimate. And so personal. We are your people who yearn to hear your voice, your personal, intimate voice spoken to us. Holy Spirit, open our hearts. Open our ears so we can hear better. So we can hear more fully the things that are eternal. You are so good to us. So very good. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, I thank you for speaking and making yourself known to us. Amen and amen. And we have several things I want to call your attention to before we have a sermon, if we get there this morning. Parker, stand up so everybody can see you. Yeah, Parker's up in the back balcony. That was a joke, guys. Okay, but you can meet Parker afterwards. Parker has mastered the merit badge course in the Boy Scouts. He's got all 121 merit badges that the Boy Scouts offered. Parker got them. And that's really a huge accomplishment. There's fewer than 100 Scouts in all of Scouting history who has accomplished that. And so, way to go. And, Parker kind of set the example because last week at the Boy Scout Board of Review, one of the Boy Scouts came in and he said, if Parker can do it, I can do it. And he's setting his heart to do that, get that same accomplishment. So that's a tremendous achievement. Well done, Parker. Joe, you want to say something real quick about your Mexico youth trip? Thank you. Okay, how many youth who are here who aren't going somewhere this summer? Stand up. Okay, all the youth who are standing up, you're going to work for those who are going.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Okay. Now, let me tell you why I say that. Because God will watch the seeds that you sow this summer on behalf of somebody else to go. And when God lays it on your heart to go on a mission trip, the funds will be there because you have planted seed. And everybody said,
Amen.
Listen, that is so true. So God looks at what you do, so it's not just, well, I'm not going, so I'm not going to do anything. No, you work and you give because you're planting seed to go. And that's so important. So there's going to be, Joe mentioned 16, 13, adults and youth going to Mexico and the other three, and there's another three adults going other places this summer. So we got 19 people that I know of that are going to go on mission trips this summer or sometime this year. That's awesome, isn't it, guys? Okay, now just kind of look around, look at each other, just kind of, my gosh, where are we going to get the money? We have more people going to have committed to go on a mission trip this year than ever before. And I've had two different conversations. It's real interesting. You remember last week we talked about hearing the voice of God, and God reveals himself to us, and then as we walk it out and we walk in obedience, what he says for us to do or gives us words to say, that the glory of God is seen. And on two different occasions this week, talking to people, and they said things like this: oh man, this is going to be a horrible year. Is 2009 going to be a horrible year? Well, if you watch TV, it's going to be a horrible year. Everybody's going to be laid off. Nobody's going to be working. Calamity is going to befall us. This is going to be a horrible year. If you listen to people and what they say, the economists are saying, oh my gosh, it's going to be 2010 before things kind of halfway get going again. So they're saying things like that. So invariably it gets back around to the conversation about the church and finances of the church, because it's a horrible thing, so everybody's cutting back, And I said, well, actually we're going to have more people go on mission trips this year than ever before. And that stops them, kind of stops them in the track, and they're thinking, well, this is going to be a real lousy year. How can you have more people than ever go on a mission trip? And I scratched my head and I said, I don't know. But I do know one thing, that God, who has called you to go and has put a country on your heart and given you the opportunity and you have said yes to that, God will supply your needs for that trip. I don't know how he's going to do it, but in the midst of everything that's going on around us, we have a God who is infinitely creative, a God who can do more than what we can imagine or think. And so what the world does, the world comes along and it's just thinking, okay, this is the way it's got to be. This is what it's shaping up to be. And we serve a God who can do imaginably more than anything that the world can think of. We serve a God who is creative and can do imaginably more than all we ask for. Amen? That God is a God who knows no limit. If his people will walk in obedience, in faith to what he has said, God knows no limits. Amen? And so I look forward to it, because this is as we begin this year, to see how God does this is going to be fun to watch. To see how God provides resources for his people to fulfill what he has called them to do. Amen? And in this year that is going to be a horrible year, according to everybody, this is going to be the best year of our life. It's going to be the greatest year of our life. If we know a God who can do immeasurably more than all we think or ask or imagine, and we know Him, and we have walked with Him in 2008, 2008 was better than 2007, right? Okay, and so why would God then in 2009, if we walk with Him and we converse with Him and relate with Him, why is God going to be less than He was last year? In fact, the things that God will have us do this year will build upon the things that were done last year and the year before. God doesn't actually subtract stuff. He actually builds things upon things. That makes sense? So if we walk uprightly before God and we walk in faith and obedience to what He has spoken to us to do, it's going to be a better year than last year. So one of the questions then that for us is this: who do we choose to listen to? Do we choose to listen to the world and the way and the world system, and they see how it operates and this is going to be a horrible year? Or are we going to listen to what God says? So one of the things that really is important for us then is, as we got all the voices out there speaking, and then we've got the voice of God Almighty speaking. So part of the challenge for us is that we come before God daily and we say, God, what is it that You're speaking? What is it that You're saying? And you hear the voice of God. You hear the sound of God, of what God has in play and what God has in store for us. And we hear that. It's important that we hear that. Because listen, if we don't hear the Spirit of God speaking the things of the Father to us, then we will hear the things of the world. Come on. If we don't hear the things that the Spirit of God will speak to us from the Father's heart, if we don't hear that and we don't listen for that, I guarantee you, we will hear the things of the world. And I'm tired of hearing the things of the world. I'm just tired of people always being critical. I'm tired of people always being negative. And, you can't do this and we can't do that. And aren't you tired of that? Don't you want to hear God say, you can do all things through me?
Amen.
I have the resources. You can do all things through me. Yes. Don't you want to hear God say that?
Yes.
We just need to understand that God is able to do immeasurably more than everything that we can think or dare to ask or even imagine.
Amen.
God, open up our hearts. Let us hear in our spirit the things that come from Your heart. Lord, let us be so focused on hearing Your voice that we no longer pay heed to what the world says. Amen? That'll preach someday. All right. Just one other quick announcement. Coming in 5 weeks is our Pine Car Derby. We've got cars back there. February 22nd is when we're going to be running the Derby. So encourage everybody to come. It's a blast. We have a good time. And so sign up and take a car kit, and start building your car. And I've got about 4 bugs or insects or critters to choose from. The kids keep bringing me this stuff, so now I got this collection that, throughout the year, they're saving these dead things. Pardon? I need a mouse? I threw a dead mouse out the other day. I should have saved him. Yeah. Go find me another one. If somebody wants to bring me a dead mouse, then you can. But I have yet to win the most creative award, even though I think I deserve it. But anyway, Oh, just a passage of scripture I was going to share with you on my sermon earlier. I love this. In Isaiah chapter 66. Verses 7 and 8. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? And then God asks through Isaiah, can a nation be born in a day? Can a nation be brought forth in a moment? As one person would say, he asks his congregation the question, do you believe that God can see a nation saved in a day? God can do more than what we think or ask, dare to ask or imagine. God is going to do some mighty things in you in the days ahead. Things that you have not dared not ask for. Things that people would say, we've never seen or heard such a thing as that. God is about to do that. God is going to send forth His Spirit to do things that we have never done before. God is going to send forth His Spirit upon you, and you will do things that you think, well, I've never heard of this before, and it'll be done. Just because we have not heard of it before does not mean it will not be done. Just because we have not seen it done before does not mean it cannot be done. God says it, things that have not been seen, things that have not been heard before, will be heard and be seen. Just as you have labor and then you have the birth. You don't have birth without the labor. And God says, you watch. I will reverse some things. So things will happen not in its order that we think this is the way it has to be, but God is going to do some things that will so astound us that it will almost catch us off guard. So we need to pay attention to what God will speak. So when I ask you guys to don't pay attention to what the world says, but to open up your heart so that you hear what God is speaking to you. This is very important. Because so often we have been raised to think a certain way before we were Christians. Amen? And we just thought this way. This is the way we think. This is how we do things. Okay. Now, we understand that Paul tells us in Romans that not to be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're very aware that the Spirit of God begins to come and transform us, and one of the ways that He transforms us is to change the way we think. Now, one of the problems that sometimes we struggle with is God has changed the way I think. Before I was a Christian, I thought this way. Now that I'm a Christian, I learn a whole new way. And so I'm learning a new way and I find myself over here. But you know, one of the problems with this is we sometimes get stuck in the way that we think as Christians. Because we know how God has acted and moved in our life and in our... And see, I've been a Christian for 40 years now. And I have seen for 40 years, that's my experience. So I think this is the way, this is normal. My 40 years of experience with God is normal, when in reality it's not normal. Who would say that my experiences are the norm? Well, that's just what I have experienced. And so the way I think and the way I see things, even as a Christian, I think is so woefully inadequate that I think God asks us to think differently, even as Christians, that we were thought of as Christians. Now, does this make sense? Now, the way that we're going to think differently is that God is able to do more. God is able to do more. See, we think God is able to do just exactly what He has done in our life, and that's about the sum total of what it's going to, our experience is going to be. But if Ephesians 3 is true, that our God is able to do more than all we think and imagine or ask, according to His Word. Ephesians 3:20 says, according to His power that is at work in you. He's able to do more than what you can ask for according to His power which is at work in you. Now, hear this. The Spirit of God, how many of you are born again? If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God living in you. Amen? You cannot be born again. You cannot be born into the kingdom of heaven except by the Spirit of God has birthed that in you. You must be born of the Spirit, Jesus says. Okay, so we've got the Spirit in us, and He's there to transform us. And so we're so used to this pattern or this way of living, even as Christians, that we get stuck into thinking this is the way it is. When the Word of God says, listen, according to the power of God at work in you, He is able to do immeasurably more than what you ask for. That calls for a radical shift in the way I think. Amen? So the shift in the way I think is that, God, Your Word tells me some things that You have planned that I can't even think of yet. And yet You want those things accomplished. So Lord, begin to open up my mind to hear the Spirit's voice so I can hear the things that the Father has planned for me and for what I will be doing. Now, if we don't do that, we're just going to hear the same old thing that we've heard for years and years and years, the things that we have grown accustomed to hearing. How many know you are accustomed to hearing some things? Okay. How many know, you guys have any appliances in your house or something that make a lot of noise? Or they make some noise and you grow accustomed to hearing it, okay? And then when it stops, you think, oh, boy, it's quiet. Because you're used to this background noise and for the life of me, I can't figure out how mothers hear their little kids. Yeah. But they can single out their children. And they can have a little kitten, you can have 20 babies, and one baby starts crying, and the mother of that baby hears it and knows it's theirs. Why is that? Yeah. Yeah. When our girls were little babies and they'd start crying at night, I wouldn't hear them. I'm sleeping. And Joyce said, hey, kid's crying, get up. And I say, huh? What are you talking about? She says, Amanda's crying. Well, I couldn't hear Amanda cry when I'm asleep, but boy, Joyce could. She'd just wake up just like that. But she just trained her ear to hear those things. Yeah, I'm just kind of oblivious to it. You know, if you don't hear it, then you don't have to get up and go. Take care of the kid. So that's why the guys on their good ear, they sleep on that side, so they don't hear everything. So they don't have to get up in the morning, in the middle of the night, and go get their kiddos. It's so important that we literally begin to hear the sound of the Spirit. Otherwise, we will just keep on going the same way that we're going. And the things that are greater that God has for us will never be fulfilled. Amen? Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians And we're going to look at, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. How many, before we actually read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, how many here are just waiting for the great and terrible day of the Lord? How many are you waiting for here are waiting for the great and glorious day of the Lord? You know, they're the same thing. It depends on what side you are. Because when the Lord returns, it is a great and terrible day for those who are going to be judged. But when the Lord returns, it is a great and glorious day for those who are already redeemed. So it's the same event, but our perspective changes immediately as soon as we decide whether I am redeemed and the Lord is coming for His bride. And in that case, it's a glorious day. But if I am not redeemed, then it is a terrible day. There's a day of judgment. And oftentimes in the Scripture, you find that the Spirit of God is at work. The Spirit of the God brings freedom. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We sing about that. But also the Spirit comes to convict the world of sin. And Isaiah would say that when the Lord comes and He comes to bring judgment, the Spirit of the Lord comes to bring judgment, but the redeemed shout for joy at that time. And so it really is it's a matter of your perspective. And so, yeah, we want the great day of judgment of the Lord's return of judgment to occur, because that's when we'll be with Him. We're on the other side of the fence. Just thought I'd throw that out to you. Okay, in 2 Corinthians, by now you have found 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 3. Paul writes, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So he writes to the church in Corinth, and he says, listen, you literally show that you are a letter of Christ. And it's not a letter that is written in stone, but it's a letter of the Spirit that's written on your heart. Okay, so he's talking about we are a people who are born of the Spirit of God. And he says, such confidence as this is ours, that through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Now, God is able to do immeasurably more than what we say and ask or think. And he says here that we are a letter from Christ because of the Spirit of God has been written upon our heart. He says, we are competent not in our own efforts. We are competent not in our own strength. We're competent not in our own intellect or our own understanding. He says, but our competence comes from God. Our competence comes from the Spirit of God who lives in us. And if we don't live out of the Spirit, then we live out of the flesh. And if we live out of the flesh, we will not accomplish that which God has purposed for us to accomplish. Amen? So He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, we are born of God by the Spirit of God. Paul tells the church in Corinth that they are a letter from Christ so that the world could literally read them. Okay? And he says, we have been made competent as ministers of a new covenant because of the Spirit of God. Not because of our own competence, but because of the Spirit of God. Now, how many of you are competent of this new covenant? Come on. You are competent because the Word of God says you are. You are competent because of the Spirit of God that dwells within you. Amen? It doesn't say that we have to pass a theology course to become competent. It does not say that we have to be competent, that in order to be competent, that we have to be intellectually gifted. To be competent of minister, to be in a minister of the gospel of this new covenant, it takes being born of the Spirit. It takes walking by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God makes us competent. Amen? So turn to somebody and tell them, I am competent.
I am competent.
Amen. Really, it's pretty much is that simple. Then he goes on in, you know, toward the end of, well, the second half of chapter 3, and he just basically is comparing the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant brought condemnation. And he says, you know, when the Ten Commandments came and they brought the law and they put man under bondage to the law, and he goes back to Mount Sinai and he says, you know, when Moses came down from that mountain, his face was filled or it was shining with the glory of God. So much so that the Israelites didn't even want to look at Moses because his face shone with the radiant glory of God. And Paul says, listen, if the old covenant that brought about, you know, this bondage to the law came with such glory, what do you think this new covenant that produces life, what kind of glory is there in that? He says that the old covenant that came with Moses was temporary and God never intended it to be an eternal covenant that just runs forever, because God's intent was that it was going to be a teacher that prepared the way for a new covenant to come. And when the new covenant came, that new covenant would be eternal. Okay? So he says, if this old covenant that came with such glory was a temporary covenant, don't you think the new covenant that is eternal and is going to last for eternity comes with more glory than the old covenant came with? He says, listen, we are competent to be ministers of the new covenant. We are competent. Not because of who we are in our own strength, but because of who Christ is in us by His Spirit. Amen? And since we have the Spirit living in us, if we hear the voice of the Spirit and we walk out what the Spirit of God is speaking to our heart to do, listen, the glory of God is going to be seen. Because the glory of the new covenant is far greater than the glory of the old covenant. Amen? He said, so let's kind of pick this up. He said, now in verse 12, therefore, since we have such a hope about this new covenant, we are very bold. Now, we need more boldness, don't we? Okay, let me say that again. We need more boldness, don't we? Amen. Okay. It's easy to get something out of Pam. Yeah. But if I get something out of Ken, This side tends to historically be quiet. Yeah. Okay. You know, and I'm convinced if Pam would sit in the middle, this side would try to go on the other side of the wall. No, I just teased. Okay, let's try this again. We need more boldness.
Amen.
Amen? We need to be more bold. Why? We have the greatest covenant that has ever been established by God to mankind. We are ministers of that covenant. And it comes with great glory. And he said, we just need to be bold about this hope that is in us now. Because listen, God has a purpose for us. And if we are not bold but timid, that purpose is not going to be fulfilled. Amen? If we're going to walk around so that nobody knows we're Christian, if we're going to walk around so that we don't offend somebody, if we're going to walk around simply because I don't want to be thought of as kind of goofy, well, listen, the kingdom of God isn't going to advance. But it's going to be, we are very bold. So God, for us, I will just take bold. And then when we're bold, then we can become very bold, okay? But God, get us to that bold stage and not timid. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Okay, now listen. We are not, in verse 13, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Well, what was Moses doing? What was he hiding? The glory. Why was he hiding the glory? We are not like Moses. In other words, take your veil off your face and let the glory shine. Amen? Okay, let me say that again. Take the veil off your face and let the glory of the Lord shine forth. If we're not like Moses, and he says, now here's what Moses was like. He's hiding the glory of God behind this veil so the people don't see it. But we're not like Moses. So in other words, he's saying we're doing the opposite of what Moses did. In other words, we have the glory of the Lord, and God says, take the veil off for goodness sake and let the world see the glory of the Lord shine in you. Okay, let me try that one again. Now, I know we're not an amen church, but this is worth amening, okay? We're supposed to take the veil of the Lord off and let the glory of the Lord that is upon us shine to the world.
Amen.
Man, if I get you to amen enough, we'll go home. I'll fall over in shock. Oh, praise God. He says, you know, the veil dulls everything. And when we try to hide behind stuff, it dulls the purpose that God has for you. It dulls that which God has gifted and put upon you so that His glory can be seen. Whatever it is that we hide behind. And he says, the veil dulls that. He says, now the world has a veil too. It's not like the veil that Moses had. Moses had a veil that would keep the glory from being seen by the people. And that was to accommodate the people. Don't you want to see the glory of God? What was going through the Israelites' mind? But Paul also talks about here about a veil that covers the eyes of the lost. Okay? And it says that their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only Christ Only in Christ is this veil taken away. So until somebody comes to Jesus Christ, there's this veil that covers their eyes so they can't see clearly. But when the veil is removed in Christ, all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to enlighten what you see, and it begins to make sense. Before you were a Christian and somebody told you about Jesus Christ and he went to the cross and he died and your sins were, God dealt with the sin issue in your life. Probably the first time you heard that, you thought, what are they talking about? How can somebody who died 2,000 years ago, somebody I'm not even sure exists, you know, because he was way before my time, and his death has an effect upon my life? How crazy is that? That's the veil that covers so that we don't see clearly truth as it is presented. But once you dared to believe that and you took that step and the veil becomes removed, you say, well, of course this is the way it is. It makes sense. But until that veil is removed, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and we are dulled to truth. Okay? But it says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, this is important for us. The Spirit of the Lord gives freedom because he removes the veil, so we have truth, we can see truth, and we can walk in truth, and we experience freedom. Because the law can never bring freedom. The law can only bring bondage, so that we cry out for Jesus who can give us freedom. But he says in verse 18, and we who with unveiled faces, okay, so we've got this veil removed, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Amen? So he said, we're not like Moses, who veiled his face. We are not like him, so that means we take the veil off. And so he says, we all, who with unveiled faces, as soon as we take the veil off, we begin to reflect some things. And the thing that we reflect is the Lord's glory. Amen? Now, when do we begin reflecting the Lord's glory? When is that day? When does that start? Well, actually, it started the day that you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of God came into your life. His glory is seen in you. The redemptive work that came about through Jesus Christ now can be seen in your life. The moment you believed is the moment that we begin to reflect the Lord's glory. Now, we take it off. He says, so it's not like we have to wait 15 years till we get mature to reflect the Lord's glory. Simon. Stand up for a second. Simon reflects the Lord's glory for me because when we were coming back from Honduras last summer, and Simon says, you know, I think the Lord is calling me to come back to Honduras next year. Oh, I hear that kind of stuff all the time. Yeah. People try to impress pastors. Yeah. I don't know why, but they do. You know, I'll be in church next Sunday, and then you never see them the rest of your life. You know, okay. But Simon felt God's call to go back this coming summer. He felt that call last year, and he has maintained that sense of God's calling me to go to Honduras. And so, in November, you can sit down now. Okay, I just want everybody to know who Simon is. Okay, and so And so in November he came. He says, "You need to get in touch with the Lamonts because I'm going to Honduras in June for the whole month of June." And so he had been making plans. That reflects the Lord's glory because he heard God and he began to move in that direction. And until God stops him, he's moving in that direction. That reflects to the world that here's a young man who has heard God. And so the world needs to know that God speaks and that people hear God. And I've heard God and I'm putting my trust in God and I'm moving in that direction. That reflects God's glory because God is speaking to mankind all the time. And so it's a testimony to the glory of God that God speaks to his people. He speaks to the world. And so by going, you're testifying to the world that I have heard God speak. Now, some of your classmates need to know that God speaks to them. So you testify when they say, "What are you going to do this summer?" "I'm going to Honduras." "Why are you going to Honduras?" "Because God told me to go." And then they're going to think you're nuts. "You mean God talks to you?" And you're going to say, "Yeah, God does talk to me." That's reflecting God's glory. And so he says, but see, Simon doesn't have to be 35 years old and a mature man before he reflects the glory of God. And so we take the veil off, and as soon as we take the veil off, the glory of God is reflected. So Genesis talks about us being image bearers. We're created in the image of God. We are God's image bearers to the world. Paul is here saying we're glory reflectors. Okay, it's the Lord's glory, but is reflected off of our life. Boy, don't you want to do that? Don't you want to live so that God's glory is seen in you? Don't you want to be a glory reflector so that when people see you, they go, "Whoa." Oh, wait a minute. Don't you want people to look at you and say, "Oh, there's somebody different than everybody else that I know"? Or you want, "He's just like everybody else, a hypocrite"? Is that what you want? Or do you want people to say, "Oh, look at that guy"? Yeah. Because they see the glory of the Lord reflected off your face. But anyway, we are being transformed into his likeness. So it starts. This glory reflector machine that we are starts when we're born into the kingdom of God. It just happens because his glory is on us. And we reflect that glory, but it says we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. So right now, here's Simon, and Simon reflects the Lord's glory when he goes to Honduras. But you know, as he continues to listen to God, and he continues to walk with God, he's transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. Amen. We ought to be showing forth the glory of God more fully and more radiantly today than we were 5 years ago. Amen? Isn't that what the Word teaches us here? We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed. I mean, that's telling us that we are being transformed. That's what it says, right? Liberty. That's what that says, right? When it says, we are being transformed, that's what that means, right? Today, we are. It's not that we will be or that we were, but we are being transformed today and tomorrow and the rest of this coming week into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes not from us, but it comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen? So last week we talked about the Spirit of God. In in John chapter 16, the Spirit, this is how God, how Jesus receives glory. The Spirit takes from Jesus and he makes it known to us. And then we walk it out and he receives glory. So we're just going to take the veil off, you know, and just let the world see what God has done in us. It's so simple. We don't have to hide anything. We just have to be who we are as God's children, and we walk uprightly before him and not hide this stuff, but just be bold to proclaim what God has done in your life. You don't have to make up stories. That's what's amazing about it. You don't have to make up anything. Just tell them, this is who I was and this is who I am now. Amen. That's all you have to do. And the glory of God begins to be seen. And when the Spirit of God tells you to go and begin to speak some words over somebody, you go and speak words over them. Okay? It's just walking out what God has called you to do and to say. Okay, and we'll quit here. You guys are being so good. If I get an amen, I'll quit.
Amen.
Have you ever heard of Pavlov and his dog? Yeah, I could train you guys real easily. But verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Just understand this whole thing. We'll probably resume on this next week, but chapter 4. Through God's mercy, we have this ministry. What is this ministry? What is it? What is this ministry that God has called us to? We're born of the Spirit of God into His kingdom. His Spirit lives in us, making us competent to be ministers of this new covenant. And we're not like Moses, who would hide the glory of the new covenant. But no, we lift the veil so that the world can see the glory of the Lord shine forth as we reflect His glory. So we do not lose heart through God's ministry, or through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Because of His mercy, this ministry that He has given us is the ministry to reflect His glory to the world. You are called to be glory reflectors. So take off your veil, lift it up. It's kind of like, you know, a good illustration of this is a wedding, okay? And you got the bride comes in, she's got the veil, okay? You know, the guy can't wait to have the veil lifted because then he gets to see the bride in all of her glory. He knows there's something behind there. And, you know, the anticipation is when the veil is lifted, oh, yes, you know. Sometimes, oh, my gosh. No, none of you guys have ever thought that, right? Yeah. But that was an attempt at humor. I'm sorry. That was a pitiful attempt. But when the bride lifts the veil, she is revealing her glory to the bridegroom. And she has prepared herself hours upon hours upon hours for this stuff, for this moment. We're not like Moses, who hides behind the veil. We lift the veil so that glory can be seen. We want to be reflectors of God's glory. Amen? Let's pray. Just bow your hearts before God right now. God, I would just come and be the first to admit that there are times in which I do not perceive of myself or think of myself as a glory reflector. And we struggle with that concept, Lord, because the devil beats us up all the time with how unworthy we are. But this morning we stand on your word that we do reflect your glory and that we are competent as ministers of this new covenant that comes with much glory, competent because of your spirit that is in us. Lord, that we are being transformed with ever-increasing glory. Transformed into your likeness. So that more and more the world can see Christ in its midst. Because when they see us, they see Christ in us. Lord, your word tells us that Jesus is a light and that the light has now been given to us. And so because of Christ in us or because of the Spirit in us, we are now the light of the world. Lord God, I would ask that you would just give us confidence to lift the veil and let the world see your glory shine and be reflected from us. Holy Spirit, come and empower us this day and this week with a boldness that in ways that we have never done before, we would lift the veil so that the world can see your glory reflected. Holy Spirit, remind us to lift the veil and to keep it lifted. Lord, you have more for us than we can imagine. You are going to do things in our life as individuals, but also corporately in the body. You are going to do things that we would say could not be done to the degree that people would say, we've never seen anything like this. God, we ask for this, that we would begin to step out in boldness to reflect your glory. So to that end, Father, we bow our hearts before you, tuning our ears to the voice of your Spirit, not only right now, but tomorrow, and the days to come. And I thank you, Lord, that when you speak and we walk out what you speak for us to do, your glory is seen. Because you are a God who speaks. And the world needs to hear that message. They need to know you as a God who is personal and a God who reveals himself to them. Thank you, Lord God, for making each one of us reflectors of your glory. Lord, let us walk. Give us grace to walk in a manner that reflects your glory to all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Okay, all glory reflectors may rise. God is so good. Gives us the purpose to live for His glory. Are you glad that we can do that?
Yes.
He gives us the privilege.